5 minutes past 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Wednesday Wire on BFM. A bit earlier today, but today for Counterclockwise, I've got a very special guest. Gordon Campbell joins me now. Hi, Gordon.
Good day there, Paul.
Now, you've written a couple of really interesting pieces over the last couple of days on this marital rape law in Afghanistan and how it kind of influences our decision to redeploy SAS troops there. First of all, can you explain a bit about this marital rape law?
Yeah, it first came to daylight. The Independent newspaper in Britain found a draft of it, which contained provisions where a man can deny his wife food if she denies him sex, guardianship of children go to fathers and grandfathers, rapists can pay off or marry their victims, and it requires women to get permission from their husbands to work. Now, this law, when it did become public, Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, gave assurances to the international community that it was going to be widely debated and would be reviewed in Parliament, and he tried to placate people by just saying, look, it won't pass in anything like this current form. And then it transpired this week that it's been secretly passed into law, looking very much like exactly the same way it was before. Why there's a New Zealand interest in particular is the law pertains to the Shia religious minority in Afghanistan, who ethnically are mainly from the Hazara population, who constitute the largest grouping in Bamiyan province, where our aid and reconstruction work has been focused. And the thing I was raising yesterday was, well, if we've spent $180 million on aid and reconstruction in this area and trying to improve the social life of the people as an alternative to the Taliban, and the government we're defending is passing laws like this, then we have a special responsibility to raise it with the authorities.
Absolutely. And the opposition gave McCulley a pretty hard time about this in Parliament yesterday. They said it kind of renders our role in this war unjustifiable. What's he said? I mean, prior to the deployment, this was about defeating terrorism in the country.
Yeah, I mean, McCulley said that when he saw Karzai, and he was obviously part of the same snow job that Karzai was doing a couple of months ago, and McCulley was given assurances that everything would be okay, and has said yesterday that he'll be looking at an English translation of the law just to see, you know, what it's like before jumping to any conclusions. But he said also that if it is bad, and he is going to, we will lay a complaint in the fashion appropriate, which I imagine is probably a stern note in the mail, or I don't know. I said this morning just jokingly, well, maybe he'll throw a shoe at Karzai next time he sees him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the only way of being effective is to actually say, look, we signed things like the UN Convention on the Rights of Women and general UN conventions. This law absolutely sails totally against.
And there's no issue of cultural relativity, really, is there?
I don't think so. I don't think you can actually get away with claiming cultural relativity on this any more than you can with genital mutilation. You know, there are things that we can't given that we've got an active role in this, we're actually actively defending the government that's passing these laws. It's not as if that we're independent of responsibility for this. And I don't see how we can pledge to uphold various UN conventions and happily go along with this when it pertains to the very community we're supposed to be putting most of our effort into helping their aid in social reconstruction.
Do you think this one issue could indeed affect the decision to send troops back?
I don't think so. Actually, to be honest about it, I don't think this would be something that Key and McCulley would regard as a bridge too far. My own feeling is that they're sending the SAS for 18 months, and regardless of whether the SAS has finished its job by that time, they'll pull them out. And in some ways, I could quite cynically see McCulley saying to, you know, publicly, we will expect you to improve the rights of women inside 12 months. We'll get to the end of 12 months, things, if anything, will be worse, and we'll say, oh, well, we've tried, but so therefore we'll pull our troops out in 6 months' time. I think this is in some way, you could see that this could be a preparation for the escape route from the involvement, because in 18 months' time, Kiir is going to have to turn around, especially if New Zealand troops have been killed, and say, you know what, we haven't made the world safe from terrorism, we haven't rebuilt a new nation in Afghanistan, but we're leaving anyway. And I think there's going to be a real difficulty in explaining that decision. So something like this will be just part of that mix, and I think they're already preparing their rationales for defeat.
That's an interesting point you raise. There's obviously a lot of the Afghani coverage over the last week has concerned the election that's coming up in a few days' time. Are other parties... I mean, Karzai is the most likely winner of that election, but, you know... an unforeseen event, he doesn't win. Are the other parties likely to take this same law through the process?
Karzai, everyone knows, expects that Karzai will be the person who gets the most votes. But the crucial thing to watch on Thursday is whether he reaches 50%, because he's trying to avoid a runoff. And this is part of a pitch to the male Hazara voters with this law. And he's also appealing to the Uzbeks by welcoming back from exile a really notorious Uzbek warlord called Rashid Dostum. And so this is part of his pitch to the various ethnic minorities inside Afghanistan. And I would think probably this law, if by some miracle he has to go to a runoff and doesn't win a runoff, I would imagine that the alternative guy, who's a guy called Abdullah, their former foreign minister, probably would take this law off the books, because he doesn't really need the Hazara vote. You know, so it comes down to that. It's just, these are just payoffs to people who may be useful to this kind of puppet government in Kabul. And if the Hazara aren't seen as useful, they won't be getting these kind of things thrown at them.
Right, okay. All eyes on Afghanistan on Thursday. Gordon, unfortunately we ran out of time, but thanks very much for your thoughts today and great pieces as well on Scoop. Cheers.
Cool, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care.